there's no place like home for the holiday.
Goblins lurking in shadows, edge haunting, whispers creep through the trees, yeah, yeah. Jack-o'-lanterns and chilling dread, ghostly figures dance through the breeze, yeah, yeah. Spirits roam the night, terrors deny. Halloween's spectacular fear ignites. With every corner's turn, shadows yearn for screams and chills in the autumn.
Welcome back to another episode of Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
And this is the 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular Week 4.
No, Jay. You got to do it like this. The 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular.
Yeah, I don't have the magic powers to do that. I don't know how that keeps happening when you talk, but when I talk, it just sounds normal.
I don't know.
It's weird.
Somebody at corporate, I'm sure.
But as we hinted about last time, we're going to get a little terrified here, but we're not going to talk about terrified. We're going to talk about Terrifier.
Yes.
We're going to carve the pumpkin on.
Carve the jack-o'-lantern.
2018's Terrifier 1.
But possibly 2016 for some reason people keep putting
there around. There was 2016 I think is like the theatrics, like the festival debut.
Yeah. That's what I kind of gathered. It's like, but yeah, most people saw it in 2018.
Yeah, released March 27th, 2018. Not great, but once again, the festival release date was like October, so pretty solid. Written and directed by Damien Leone, who also wrote and directed Terrifier 2, Terrifier 3, Terrifier 4, which is in pre-production right now, maybe a Terrifier 5, maybe more Terrifier movies after that.
As many as he wants to make.
Yep, Frankenstein versus the Mummy, which just sounded great.
Yes.
And All Hallows Eve, which is kind of a backdoor...
Yeah, it's like...
debut for Art the Clown, yes, kind of.
Art is in it, but I don't think they ever actually call him Art the Clown.
And I think there's like... maybe two other movies that like they're shorts that Damien Leone made that are also Terrifier, like that have Art the Clown kind of in them.
They're in the Terrifier universe.
I understand the third movie is a Christmas movie.
Oh, is it, Jay?
So we'll probably have to watch that at some point in time. He said with tongue placed firmly in cheek. starring David Howard Thornton as Art the Clown. We last knew him as the Mean One.
Oh, the Mean One?
Yeah, the
Jay?
Mean One.
Didn't you meet the Mean One?
I did. He was a very nice guy. David Howard Thornton was very, very sweet.
And listen, if you're not trying to celebrate Christmas, he's a very nice guy.
I think he was very... I think I said this earlier, on an earlier episode, but he was just so excited that, like, it was all these people with Terrifier stuff, and I think he was nice to everybody. But then somebody walks up with the Mean One, and he was like... Oh, he's like, I loved this movie. Like, he's like, this is so much. And we talked about it for like 5 minutes. He also mentioned that you and I will probably like Screamboat.
Ah, okay. So yes, we're official Mean One enjoyers.
Yeah.
And yes, we got at a certain unnamed movie. We had a trailer for Screamboat that actually looked pretty good.
Yeah. And also said from the creators of the mean one. Jenna Connell plays Tara, and we will see her again in Terrifier 2. And as Lila in Night of the Missing, also was Carolyn Renfield, and as listed as Krampus Guest in Red One, that new Dwayne Johnson Santa movie that's coming out.
We're going to have to see that, Jay.
I think we are. But I know how much you liked Renfield, so I got to shout out Renfield. Jeff loved Renfield.
Oh, hold on a second, Jay. Is that the Chucky you need? They have it at... our Walmart, apparently.
That is the Chucky that I need.
You want us to go ahead and pick it up?
Yeah, grab that for me. Sorry, we're busy trying to locate...
locating Christmas horror merchandise
at Walmart. People, if you don't know about this, yeah, there's a whole selection of Christmas horror merchandise dropping at Walmart, as well as a two-pack of A Very Krampus Christmas. And it has Krampus the Return and Granny Krampus as the two-pack.
Uh-huh.
Exciting stuff.
I'm sure that won't ever come up again.
Samantha Scafidi plays Victoria. We resumes those roles in 2 and 3. But probably won't be in 4 based off of what happened at the end of 3. Yes, we'll kind of talk about that.
We will find out.
Catherine Corcoran plays Don, and we will see again in 2, but also maybe as Chloe in Caesar and Otto's Paranormal Halloween. It depends on how much we like Caesar and Otto's Deadly Christmas when that one rolls around.
Oh boy, that's one we've been dreading.
Budget of $35,000, according to IMDb. Worldwide gross of $419.77, also according to IMDb. Definitely made its money back.
Yeah.
My understanding was it was going to be Indiegogo'd.
Yes. And the campaign didn't quite make it. And then Phil Falcone, I think his name was, stepped in and put up the rest of the money.
And, you know, and here it is. Voila. Where to watch. I think it's streaming for free quite a few places. I saw it on Peacock, which I know is not a free service, but
pretty much everywhere.
I think it's just about everywhere. Personal experience, Jeff, let's kind of get into that. I think that would kind of set the stage, not only to talk about Terrifier in general, but also to talk about this movie in particular.
Well, a podcast I listened to, one of the hosts was a big Terrifier fan. And around Halloween time a couple years ago, I was like, you know what? I haven't seen any of these Terrifier things. Terrifier 2 had just come out. I was like, all right, I'll check out this. And I was like, I think I will enjoy these movies. And then we found out that there was a Terrifier 3 coming out and there was going to be Christmas themes. That pretty much guaranteed we'd be talking about them on here.
So my kind of first experience was, I think I had seen, like, on Tubi, I had seen, like, the image of Art the Clown that is the cover of Terrifier. And I was kind of like, okay, you know, that, you know, and I was like, wow, that's a creepy looking clown, you know, and I, you know, didn't really think anything of it. And then one day I was kind of scrolling through Tubi and I saw the cover for All Hallows Eve and Art the Clown was also there. And I'm like, wait, how is this movie different from Terrifier? Is it the same movie as Terrifier? So I kind of did like a Wikipedia dig into kind of the franchise, and I had read, you know, I kind of read the synopsis of, like, the of All Hallows Eve, and I was like, okay, that sounds interesting. Clicked on the thing for Terrifier, and I was like, wow, this sounds gross as fuck. Like, yeah. This sounds really, really gross. And it's one of those things where I think my brain kind of, like, led me to believe it was going to be grosser than it was.
Yeah. Well, and the buzz around it too, because there were two camps talking about it, basically. It's great camp, and it's like, it's disgusting. I don't even know how people watch something like this camp, and they're pretty much evenly split.
And I think that also, I think that also kind of colored my vision. So I was like, well, I'm not really going to watch this. And then Terrifier 2 came out, and once again, that buzz came right back up. All the shit about Terrifier 2, and I was like, hey, you know, people are leaving the theater barfing and passing out and shit. And I'm like, what the? I'm like, these movies can't be that bad. Like, there's, you know, there's stuff you're not allowed to show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this can't be that bad.
That's kind of what I was thinking, and kind of when I brought it up with my dad, he was like, if it's rated R and being shown in a regular movie theater, it can't be that bad.
And, you know, and that's, and so when Terrifier 3 came out, I was kind of sitting there. I'm like, we're going to have to see it. Like, this will be my first Terrifier movie, Terrifier 3. And, you know, and I'm just kind of going in expecting the worst. And I literally ran into a friend or a couple friends, and they were even like, I was like, I've never seen one of these before. Like, this is my first one. I'm seeing it because it's a Christmas horror movie. And they were like, oh, dude, you know, you got to be ready. Like, it's going to be real gross. And I'm like, everyone keeps saying this. Yeah. And we'll kind of talk about it.
Yeah, we will get into that discussion. But
we'll probably include, like, a mini stocking stuffer here.
Yeah, but that discussion, too, I'll add that to my personal experience. People talking about how, especially Terrifier 2, people bring up the bedroom scene. Mm-hmm. Like, it's some kind of terrible, terrible thing no one should ever see. It's like, it's okay.
I'll kind of talk about my big thing at the end, but what I left Terrifier 3 with, and certainly having watched Terrifier 1 now, so, you know, I'm sure it'll be the same thing for Terrifier 2, is it's very violent, but it's cartoony in a way.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, and, like, as soon as I realized, I'm like, oh no, this is just, like, over the top silliness. Like, this is real life, or, like, live action, Wile E. Coyote. Like, it made the movie, like, I'm like, oh yeah, this isn't that bad at all. Like,
yeah. No, that's my whole thing, too. It's like, at a certain point, violence just gets ridiculous, and that definitely crosses into that threshold.
All right, do we want to get started, dive right into our synopsis here?
We might as well.
All right, we start off, we've got like a TV, the camera's slowly like tuning in on like a TV that keeps, it looks like more like an analog set, like rabbit ears kind of.
Yeah.
And it's the Monica Brown show, and she's interviewing the victim, the only survivor of the Miles County massacre, which happened a year ago, where the victim talks about how, you know, what happened to her and, you know, and whatnot. And we kind of see an image of the victim's face, and she's been horribly disfigured by this incident, as Art kind of watches on and smashes the TV. And we then kind of, you know, as the victim says something along the lines of like, Art is dead. I watched him die. Mm-hmm. And then we get our kind of opening credits rolling over Art, like making weapons and kind of getting ready to go be Art the Clown. Later, Monica Brown is chatting with her boyfriend about the interview and about how ugly this victim was and how disfigured she was, even saying something along the lines of, I think I have it as one of my monster mashes, something along the lines of like, if something like that ever happens to me, just kill me.
Yeah.
And then she's kind of like getting ready to leave, and the victim appears and like gouges both of her eyes out, like ripping them out, and like starts laughing. And then we get our title card, Terrifier.
Dun dun dun.
Now I know people are normally pretty used to it. We've done this a couple times where we've got a little more loosey goosey on kind of the movie, and this one I think we're kind of gonna do the same. I sat down to like take notes, and I was like, I can't take notes. I just gotta watch this movie.
Well, and to be honest, this first one is more of a series of kills than it is really like a plot.
Yeah. So it's Halloween night. We have these two friends. They're Tara and Don. They're out and about kind of partying. They're getting ready to get in the car. And I think Tara doesn't want Don to drive because Don's drunk. Don seems like the much rowdier friend, and Tara seems like the more kind of down-to-earth friend. And while they're kind of arguing about this, Art the Clown kind of starts walking down like the street towards them.
Yeah.
And I think Don thinks it's hilarious and is like trying to like catcall Art and shit.
Yeah.
And Tara's rightfully kind of weirded out by this dude carrying a garbage bag dressed like a clown walking down the street late at night.
Yeah.
So they go to get some pizza to sober up, and I think at one point calls to Art, and then the camera cuts away, and when it cuts back, Art is just not on the street anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to this pizza place, and you know they're getting their pizza, and who walks in but Art the Clown.
Yeah.
And once again, like, Don starts kind of picking on him.
Let's get a selfie.
Yeah, goes and takes a selfie with him. Clearly, he's not enjoying his time. I think takes his hat off and, like, drops it at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is after my wife commented on this. Art, like, takes some change and goes and, like, buys a little ring out of the gachapon machine,
mm-hmm,
and gives it to Tara. Later on, Tara, like, takes it off, and my wife was like, oh, I bet that's why she gets killed. She took that ring off.
I mean, that would fit with Art.
And so Art, you know, kind of, you know, I think gets up to go to the bathroom at one point in time as the girls are eating their pizza. The guy who runs the pizza parlor, he's a real New York guy.
Oh.
And he goes into the bathroom after Art, and Art's apparently just smeared shit all over the walls, all over the toilet.
Get the fuck out of here.
So he kicks Art out and you know, throws Art's garbage bag out after him. The girls then turn to leave, and we're going to kind of like, I don't know how we want to tackle this. Basically, the girls leave. They go. They find their car. The tires have been slashed.
Yep.
And so Tara has to go to the bathroom. So she sees like this exterminator who's like kind of closing up an apartment complex.
Well, she calls her sister to pick him up.
Oh, yeah. She calls her sister Victoria to come pick them up, which initially Victoria is reluctant to do. She's studying for midterms. But then her roommate shows up with her boyfriend, and they're getting ready to fuck. And Victoria's like, fine, I'll come and get you.
Yeah, meanwhile, Art is killing people at the pizza place.
Yep. And I felt so bad for the cook. Like, yeah. I'm like, the cook didn't say a word to you. It's the shitty odor that was yelling at you. The cook has to clean the toilet.
Yeah.
And he's like, I better get overtime for this. You better get me overtime for this. And then he walks out and sees the owner's head is like carved into a jack-o'-lantern.
Mm.
And then Art appears. I think he goes to like run away. And like as Art appears, and then Art like chases him down, starts stabbing him in the face repeatedly and shit.
Indeed.
So Tara's now inside the apartment complex, trying to go to the bathroom.
The guy feels bad for her and lets her in.
Yep. And Dawn is sitting out in her car and she's kind of listening to the radio, and a thing comes on about this black and white clown figure who was seen leaving this pizza parlor where this murder just took place. And she kind of hears her door open and she turns, and it's Art who, you know, smiles at her, and yep. We cut away. So then Tara's inside the apartment building, runs into like this crazy cat lady, and you know, is getting ready to leave. I think she even maybe goes and asks, like goes to go ask Mike for help, and Art appears behind her, stabs her in the neck with like a sedative and knocks her out.
Yep.
We now get the very infamous scene, I think, of the first movie.
Yes.
Where Tara is strapped to a chair, restrained with tape and wrapped around her mouth, and Art like kind of appears, pulls down this curtain that he's hung up, and hanging up is Dawn.
Yep.
And Art proceeds to saw her in half, literally, from butt crack to face.
Which is what I was hoping was going to happen in, what was that stupid hiking simulator movie?
Hiking simulator movie. I'm sure I know what you're talking about. I just don't remember. Oh, In a Violent Nature.
Yes, In a Violent Nature, where we thought he was going to get split on the
launch. Yeah, oh, splitter, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
This is what should have happened.
And it is very gory, but once again, it's
like over the top.
It's over the top.
It's like video game gory.
Or like, yeah, Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Tara's able to kind of escape. She's able to run off, and Art gives chase. And while this is going on, I think Victoria is driving towards the apartment complex, like getting closer. And she also hears about this killer that's kind of in the neighborhood on the loose, dressed like a clown. And so she pulls up as Tara, like, is maybe even about to escape.
Yeah, she's almost out, and then Art shoots her.
Yeah, Art just pulls out a gun, shoots her, like, three times, goes to, like, shoot her again, is out of bullets, leaves, gets more bullets, and then just dumps an entire clip into her.
Yep. Then he attacks Mike, too.
Oh, yep, he attacks Mike with a hammer. After the crazy cat lady kind of tried to get his attention about the dead bodies in the basement.
Yeah.
And so Victoria calls Dawn's phone, and Art, you know, I think like to kind of see where they are. Art finds the phone and texts saying like, "I'm around back, come around back," or something like that.
Yeah.
And then we get another great scene where, because Dawn was the one taking the selfies with Art, Art then takes a selfie with Dawn as she's like split in half.
Yep. One of my favorite kills in the entire thing.
We then pretty much Tara gets around. Art has murdered the crazy cat lady and basically scalped her and is wearing her like skin as a skin suit.
Yep.
And Victoria thinks that it's Tara, so she's kind of shaking Art to try and wake up her sister, like, "Hey, you know, I'm here, like, let's get out of here, you know, this is really creepy," only for it to be Art wearing this person's skin, like, giving chase.
Yep.
And Art, you know, very much, you know, David Howard Thornton just chewing scenery, like, being very silly, making faces and shit. And then I think this is the point where then Will, the other exterminator, shows up.
Yep.
And he's getting ready to leave. He's able to find like the key to get inside, and Art gets distracted by this and goes and kills Will instead of giving chase to Victoria.
Indeed.
We then get the scene, which I thought was the most, like, you know, so like I've mentioned, as I think regular listeners know, and I mentioned at the top of this episode, like, I watched these movies out of order. Mm-hmm. And so there were parts where I was kind of sitting there and I'm like, Art doesn't act the way like he does in Terrifier 3. Mm-hmm. In Terrifier, like in Terrifier 3, he's so over the top,
yeah,
and so silly and so goofy, and you know, and he's making faces and he's like grimacing at people who insult him or you know or whatever, or you know, when when the victim of this movie, who will reveal at the end for those of you who don't know, is masturbating with a shard of glass in the third movie. Art like just kind of like
shame.
Yep, shames are like rubs one finger on top of the other at her, and like just silly shit like that. And I'm like, we don't get enough of that in this movie, but we do get a scene of David Howard Thornton dressed as Art the Clown riding around on a little trike through a room after he's killed people, like honking a horn.
Damien Leone said one of his biggest regrets about this movie was not fleshing out the personalities of the characters more. Especially Art, so that's why he made sure to focus on that in 2 and 3.
It's so it's one of those things, like, when you get it, it's amazing. Like it's amazing, and it's kind of like I said, we'll talk about that more, I'm sure, when we get to our categories. But Victoria is able to, I think, is kind of almost able to escape. Gets attacked by Art at one point. I think Art, comes up behind her and starts to suffocate her with like some saran wrap.
He whips her too. A makeshift whip.
But I loved the scene with the saran wrap. She's able to like pull it off her face, and she's like sitting there coughing, and like Art picks up kind of the saran wrap, and he's looking at it. He's like, "What the hell? I didn't think she'd be able to do that."
Exactly.
And then while he's distracted, she grabs a railroad spike and stabs it through his foot.
Yep.
Very funny.
Don't worry, he'll get his revenge.
Yeah. I think she's just about ready to escape, and Mike shows up, and they're like together. They're able to kind of fight Art off, and Mike calls 911 for help.
Yeah.
They then like go to leave, and Art appears behind Mike, basically like, bashes him in the head repeatedly with like a large, I assume, cylinder of some kind. Yeah. It looked like, and then crushes his head under his boot, under like his giant clown shoe foot heel.
Yeah, exactly.
that was a mouthful. Victoria is able to run outside, and Art kind of gives chase. She thinks she's kind of gotten away. She's able to sneak into like this garage area. Hears the police sirens approaching. You know, you think she's safe. You think everything's fine. Art drives a truck through the garage door, crushing her.
The pickup truck crash.
And then stands over her, and you're kind of like, okay, like he's getting ready to kill her or whatever. The police show up, and Art is eating her face.
Classic.
And the cops are like, put your hands up. And so Art like raises one hand, and they're like, let me see your other hand. Art reaches down, pulls out a gun, blows his own brains out.
Yep.
And then you hear like the cops say, like, we got a live one over here.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria is our victim from the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
We then cut to the coroner getting, starting to get the bodies. He gets, I think, the body of Mike, and then finds the body. And then, you know, and also has the body of Art, and he's like getting ready to investigate. And then, like, the lights start to flicker and the radio turns on, and like this eerie voice comes over the thing. I assume it was something from the the Damien Leone movie, The Ninth Seal, or something like that, which is about, I think, like the demons that you see in Terrifier 3.
Yeah.
But it's like some female voice saying, like, essentially something along the lines of, I didn't write it down, I should have written it down. This is the one thing I should have written down. Something along the lines of, like, we have such sights to show you, but that's Hellraiser. That's not Art the Clown. And they he kind of like, the guy's like, oh, that was weird. Looks down, Art's alive, kills him.
Yep.
And then we cut to like the it's like 1 year later. Victoria is getting discharged from the hospital. You know, you hear her, the doctor's talking like, oh, she always kept such high spirits, blah, blah, blah. Wheelchair turns around and you see Victoria's disfigured face showing that the killer, the person from the beginning was Victoria.
Yeah. The disembodied voice says playtime a lot throughout the movie.
Okay.
If you notice that.
I did not catch that.
But yes, it appears. So I believe Art is supposed to be a human sadistic serial killer in this first one. But from this point forward, he is a supernatural killer.
Okay.
Kind of like how Michael in the first one was supposed to be a human killer.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, now he's supernatural.
I assumed it had something to do with, you know, making a deal with those demons we saw in Terrifier 3. Maybe also we're in Terrifier 2. I'll let you know about that one next year.
I was going to say, Jay will let you know. But spoiler alert, yes, there's more demon stuff in Terrifier 2.
Oh man, what a movie. It was something else. Do we just want to kind of talk? I guess we could kind of talk about it during our like final rating and stuff, and just kind of final thoughts.
Yeah.
Kind of a short synopsis there, but yeah, like you said, not a whole lot to talk about.
This is not a plot heavy movie. This is a movie that definitely needs to be watched.
But it is a lot of fun. I think it does what it sets out to do, and I think that's the most impressive thing.
Yes.
Where do you want to start off with for our categories?
Well, you know what, Jay? We might as well do our Halloween carols or whatever we're calling them.
Our Monster Mash, our favorite quotes.
Our Monster Mashes.
All right, let me pull mine up here. Do do do.
Male EMT, Jay. Bacon? Really? I thought you were watching your cholesterol. Coroner, I'm watching it. I'm watching it go up.
We've never related to a character more.
Exactly.
I also have a line from the coroner as they're pushing the two dead bodies in. He goes, Halloween never disappoints, does it?
Dawn, in regards to art, what's he going to do? Chop me up into pieces?
I have that one as well. Tara, what the hell is wrong with you? Dawn, what do you think he's going to do? What did you think he was going to hack me up into little pieces or something?
Tara, yeah, when she sees art at the pizza parlor, I think we should get our food to go.
I also have a Tara. Dawn, I don't feel like dying tonight. As Dawn's trying to like take the keys because she's drunk and she wants to drive, and they like that's when you first see Art for the first time at the end of the street.
Yeah. At the pizza parlor, the guy at the counter's like, "Be with you in a minute, buddy." And then he whispers into the phone, "You ought to see the shape of the fucking guy that just walked in."
I also have a pizza parlor line. Dawn, after walking out of the bathroom, goes, "That was the longest piss I have ever taken." Which we've all been there.
Now, this wasn't really a line, but I like that when Art is finger painting with his shit in the bathroom, he writes Art on the wall.
I saw that too. Yeah. There's another line talking about Art when Mike the Exterminator is on the line with the police. He's like, "This guy is armed and a total fucking maniac."
Yep. Oh, another coroner exchange. The EMT's like, "How can you eat a greasy croissant while you're cutting up dead bodies?" And the coroner's like, "Sweetheart, I've been doing this 22 years, all right? Once you've seen an 8-month-old microwave to death, everything else is just old hat."
The last one I have is Monica Brown seconds before Victoria gouges her eyes out. "Babe, do me a favor. If I ever look like that, promise me you'll put me out of my misery. You think I'm joking?"
Dawn and Tara, when Art gives her the ring, and she's like, "This is the nicest thing a guy's done for you all night."
That was a good one. That's the thing. I don't think Art would have spared her if she'd kept the ring on, but it is kind of a funny thought.
Who knows? Who knows? He might have.
Oh, man. But yeah. What, do you have any more? No, you good?
I'm good on quotes.
All right. Let's, let's move on to Halloween costume, set designs, costuming, et cetera. Lighting, camera work, all that good stuff.
Art looks great, appropriately creepy, especially during the pizzeria scenes where he's sitting at the table. Those are great.
That's the thing. As much as I missed a lot of like the art kind of like, you know, like I said, chewing the scenery, the scenes where you do get that are really, really funny. I do kind of enjoy the like him sitting and just glowering. As, like, Don's, like, taking a picture with him. Like, he's not making a funny face. He's not doing something silly. He's just literally just sitting there stone-faced. And I did kind of enjoy that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Art's not having fun right now.
Well, and it's more impressive, too, because a lot of these guys, to get around that no-expression thing, wear a mask. But David Howard Thornton does it just barefaced.
So something I mentioned to Jeff as we were leaving Terrifier 3, I was not a big fan of Victoria's face in that one. I was like, honestly, the grossest thing was fucking acid face over there.
Yeah.
And honestly, I thought looked better in this one.
Yeah, her features have gotten more demonic over the last couple movies, which I don't know is necessarily good, because I do like her design in this one better.
I thought that was the grossest thing, so I'm kind of prepared, like, oh, it's going to be gross in this one, too, and I'm like, honestly, it's not as bad. Maybe I'm just misremembering, but yeah. I'm like, honestly, not as bad.
No, it's definitely worse in 2 and 3.
I do want to shout out that Dawn's costume especially, but I think also Tara's costumes are ones that you can buy at Spirit Halloween.
Of course.
Because I literally, I was like, well, I could walk you right to where Dawn's, scarecrow dress outfit is. I could walk you directly to that one. Tara, I could maybe take you to the right section, but I don't know that I could actually show, like, there might be something similar, but maybe not exactly the same.
Yeah.
Lastly, loved the setting. Loved the abandoned apartment complex. I thought that was a really kind of neat idea with, like, all the tunnels and kind of, like, basement area underneath.
It feels appropriately creepy.
And it's just, it's abandoned, but, like, it just, you know, but there's a handful of people kind of making their way around, even though, you know, some should be and some shouldn't be. And it just, you know, you kind of never know what's going to be around the next turn, but also just looks really gross. Like, the bathroom when Tara goes in to go to the bathroom looks real, real gross.
Oh, yeah. No, they did a great job. Making it look appropriately creepy around, since this was intended to be a Halloween movie.
Also, Art smearing shit on the toilet gave me flashbacks to when I worked at a gas station.
Oh my! Anybody who works anywhere with the public has access to a toilet knows that pain.
Yep. I literally went like, well, been there, buddy.
Yeah. God, a side note, people are fucking disgusting. I'm glad Art murders people.
Do you want to do Burnt Out Jack-O-Lantern, Brilliant Jack-O-Lantern? One thing you want to fix and one thing you want to praise?
Sure.
All right. You want to go first?
If you want, I will go first.
All right.
My Burnt Out Jack-O-Lantern was the thing we've been talking about quite a bit. Let David Howard Thornton do more of the crazy art stuff that he does in the other movies. I think that was one of the biggest weaknesses of this one, because the creepiness factor's there, the kills are there, the gore's there, the effects look great. But yeah, have him be a little more of his goofy self, and I think you would have had a pretty much perfect first entry.
I completely agree. This is hard because I think this movie is great. But I watched, you know, having watched them out of order, Art just seemed less arty in this movie, and I was really expecting a lot more of that scenery chewing, a lot more of that overacting, a lot more of the silly faces and the mocking people.
I was curious when we were going to go see Terrifier 3, and you're going to watch this afterwards. I'm like, are you going to be able to go back to the old Art after you've seen the new one?
You mentioned that. Yeah. And you know, I think Art certainly gets developed more, and I think Damien and David, like, saw what worked in the first movie. And went, let's do more of that. Yeah, like, they saw what was a hit, what got people talking, and they went, more of that, less of the other stuff.
They definitely both have great slasher movie instincts. You know, honestly, if he wasn't out of the game, pretty much, I wish we could do a collaboration between them and John Carpenter and see what they could cook up.
Oh, it'd be great. For the longest time, I thought the meme of Art holding the gun was like a joke. I thought it was, you know, and then, oh no, that's just part of Terrifier 1. No. Like, but I just thought it was like a joke, like, you know, for whatever reason.
I was like, yeah, Art, that's another interesting slasher thing about Art. He's not afraid to use a gun if he has to.
I think my wife literally said, like, a gun? That seems a little unfair.
Yeah. Well, you know, Art watched Scream.
Yeah, he knows what's up.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise, like, I mean, really well-made movie. Not a lot to complain about. It's just like that one little thing where I'm like, more of that. Which, like you said, you know, was even Damien Leone's, like, big regret. Like,
yeah, I wish I could have gone back and developed personalities of characters more, especially Art, in the first one.
Brilliant Jack-O-Lantern, thing you want to praise?
I wanted to praise David Howard Thornton's performance in this, because he gives... even though he's not allowed to do his full crazy thing that he does in the other performances he does a really good job at being menacing with very little ability to, like, express anything. Because obviously he's a mime, he can't speak, but he brings across his evil intent very well with just his eyes and his facial expressions.
I kind of thought the same thing as you. I was like, I bet Jeff's going to pick David Aaron Thornton's thing. So I was like, well, what else did I like? And it kind of hit me. I was like, you know, we've watched a lot of, like, indie movies or a lot of, like, kind of low budget movies, and a lot of them are not particularly, like, well shot or well acted. And I mean, this movie's maybe not the best acted, but
do you know what my backup was?
Was it this?
I was gonna say, yeah, this is like, it does not feel like a low budget movie.
No, exactly. And it's like, and then there's just so many shots where I'm just sitting there and I'm like, that's a really good shot for a movie that, you know, has this budget. Like, it's, you know, his instincts as a director, like, yes, you know, to kind of utilize this small setting that probably, you know, didn't have a lot of money to use, like, and just use it really well. And, you know, we've seen similar shots like that in other movies, and it kind of even brought me back to what you and I said about Mother Krampus 2. Give these guys a budget and let's see what they can do. Like,
well, I mean, even on Terrifier 3, we saw how great that was. That was only a $2 million budget.
Yep. And yeah, like every movie, the budget's gotten bigger because they've been more successful. Like, once again, you know, give these indie people more money so we can actually see what they can do with these movies. Because, you know, but you know, you and I were both sitting there like, Mother Krampus 2 would be way better if these people had like a budget and actors and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, give it to these people. Like,
exactly. I mean, honestly, there's really no reason not to. What's a couple million dollars to a studio? Nothing.
And you might
end up
make the next Start the Clown. Yes,
as I say, you might end up with the Terrifier 3, which made 10 times its initial investment back in 3 days.
And, you know, outgrossed a Warner Brothers DC movie.
Yes. But yeah, it made 26 on a $2 million budget. It made $26.3 million in its opening 3 days.
And, well, I mean, you know, we pitched in our part too.
Yeah, we definitely did.
Halloween Spirit. Let's kind of finish off with that one before we get into our final rating. How
Christmassy is this Halloween?
Two movies we will be having that discussion. How Halloweeny is the movie? How Halloweeny are the kills?
I would say it's pretty much like a peak slasher movie. It's everything you want in a good slasher movie, and slashers feel very Halloween. It doesn't matter if they're actually set then or not.
I thought like the movie itself, they're coming back from a Halloween party. They're wearing costumes, and you know, and I think that's kind of that's everyone's kind of thought process for why it's not weird that a dude's walking around dressed as a clown.
Mm-hmm.
It's Halloween. Like, everyone's like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
The kills themselves are great. Mm-hmm. And art is certainly an icon at this point.
Yeah.
For everything, and as absolutely an icon of Halloween. But probably the most Halloweeny kill is the carving the pizza shop owner's head like a jack-o'-lantern.
Which, granted, is a really good one, but yeah. I don't know. Honestly, on a scale of, like, if we're taking trick-or-treat as the top, and I don't know, what would our worst be so far?
Probably one of the third Saturday Octobers.
I was going to say, yeah, a third Saturday
Maybe October. Pumpkinhead 2.
Or, yeah, Pumpkinhead 2. Well, at least that one looked like it was fall. But yeah, I would say this one probably falls somewhere in the middle as far as Halloween Spirit goes.
Yeah.
You get the built-in Halloween factor of it being a slasher movie, and it has a lot of gruesome gore and kills, but not a whole lot of overt Halloween stuff other than the costumes.
And my understanding is correct. You get a lot more of that in Terrifier 2, right?
Yes. It's a year to the day.
Yep.
Art's back for more.
With that one, it's Halloween, I think, is a much bigger part in that movie from what I've understood.
It is.
All right, well, let's move into our final rating. Every episode of the Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular 2024 version, we rate our movie. And it's every spooktacular episode, we kind of have this rating. Is it seasonally scary? Is it candy corny? God damn it. seasonally scary, seasonally spooky, candy corny, or 6 feet under. Because it's the spooktacular, so it's seasonally spooky.
Yeah.
All right. Well, butchered that. Who cares?
We're doing it live, folks. Doing it live. What do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Seasonally spooky for me. Having seen three before one, you can kind of see the evolution of the franchise by watching them in reverse. The gore is great. Art is an icon. I love the world that kind of gets built just in this first movie and has been built even before this movie. The camera work is there. It gets improved upon as you kind of get to watch these creators grow as you watch these movies, going from one to the next to the next. And it's the same director and writer. It's the same, you know, it's the same actor, and you just watch them grow as actors and writers slash directors, just doing more interesting things, you know. And I think part of that's the increased budget, but I think part of that is learning and seeing what works and what doesn't work and going with the stuff that does work. You know, listen, for those of you that are put off, you know, based off of what you've heard about this movie, about the violence, the gore, all that stuff, I honestly didn't find any of it that bad. I think it's built up a lot more in my mind than it ever was in reality. It's more cartoony violence, like I said, you know, like real life Looney Tunes, than it is like straight up like senseless violence, like almost. At a certain point, you just have to, you kind of find yourself laughing at kind of the shit David Howard Thornton does.
Yeah.
And just kind of the over the top things, like both like killing wise and just as being a goofball. Like we said, the scenery chewing, like it just, it just improves upon as the movies go on. And it, you know, I'm assuming Terrifier 4 in a weird way will be better than Terrifier 3.
Oh, like, yeah. They've definitely shown the ability to build on what they've made.
Everything I've heard is like, people are like, yeah, Terrifier 1's good. Like, it's fun. It's fine. Oh, Terrifier 2? Yeah, that was really, really good. That was a big improvement. Those same people. Oh, Terrifier 3 is even better than Terrifier 2. Like, it's just going up and up and up for these guys. And it's just so impressive that they've been able to do that.
Very rare that they're able to pull that off, because generally your first movie's the best and it's all downhill from there.
Yep. And then every once in a while, you know, you get like a Halloween 3 and it's better than the entire franchise.
Jay Logston, everybody. Getting some hate comments over that. Anyway, seasonally spooky for me as well. I mean, everything Jay said was exactly right. I mean, if you're looking for a classic slasher movie, this one really captures that. I think they even added a little bit of like artificial film grain to it, because I mean, this was shot obviously on an HD modern camera.
Yep.
But yeah, it's got that old fashioned look, like a Halloween or a Nightmare on Elm Street or a Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Art's great. David Howard Thornton's performance is always great in everything he does. Even though for some weird reason people didn't like the mean one, even though, I mean, it captures all the same kind of stuff. I guess people just weren't as interested in it because they thought it was like a Grinch tie-in.
Yeah, David Howard Thornton even kind of mentioned that. He's like, I think people thought that movie was going to be like more serious than it was. Yeah. But then it's also like, but look who the actor, like if you went into that and you were like, oh, I was expecting David Howard Thornton to give a serious performance.
Yeah.
Have you not seen these movies?
Well, like, I wonder if the Steamboat Willie movie is going to get the same kind of backlash. Because are people going into that expecting it's going to be serious?
I have no idea.
Or are they going into, what's that one, Bambi the Revenge or whatever that's coming out here soon? If you're going into that expecting a serious movie, I think you're going to be disappointed. But, of course, that, you know, that we've spoken about it at length before. That's a very big problem on the modern movie reviewing internet, is everybody takes everything as it has to be a masterpiece.
Right.
It must be perfect, or otherwise it's not worth watching. And it's like, that's just not the case. Like, honestly, you don't need to see Terrifier 1, because the only important thing from Terrifier 1 is recapped at the beginning of 2. So you could honestly just start with 2 if you wanted to. But it's worth a watch, I think, just for the interesting kills in David Howard Thornton's performance alone. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah, like I said, if you've watched them out of order, you know, you might be a little disappointed. But there are a handful of scenes that are glimpses of what Art does in the later movies.
And as to what Jay said, I will second that it's really not anything that extreme. You know, I mean, it's an R-rated movie. They showed in movie theaters, you know. It's not going to be like a snuff film or anything like that. I mean, yeah, Art does some crazy stuff, but I mean, all of our famous Halloween slashers have done some stuff. If you took it out of context and just showed somebody that one scene, they'd be like, what the hell is this movie? That's fucking disgusting. But I mean, honestly, Art does it the best for me, because he just does it so over the top that it's like, it's funny to watch.
Yep. No, like, there was, we'll call it the chainsaw proctology appointment in Terrifier 3. Like, you don't need to do that. You don't need to keep doing that. But like at a certain point, you're just like, whatever. Like, all right, yeah, this is whatever. Like, just keep doing it.
I mean, and it's the fact that kind of violent moment, just the scene literally before is him like listening to them bashfully out in the hallway, like talking about him and how great of a killer he is and everything. Oh my God. But his face when she's like, I don't want to fuck him. It's like, ugh. Of course she doesn't. Yep. Nobody ever does.
No, it's just so fun. That, like, I you know, like I said, we sat down to watch the movie. I ran into some old friends that were like, oh, this is your first one? It's going to be real gross. Prepare to be, like, grossed out. And, I, you know, like I said, I was expecting the worst. And, no, like, within the first 10 minutes, I'm just laughing about just some of the, just yeah. how stupid some of this shit is and just how silly and fun. And, you know, by the end, I like left the theater. I was like, that was a blast. I don't know, you know, I don't know what my, you know, I know what my hangups were, but I don't know what everyone else's hangups are. Cause this movie was just so good.
It's the Terrifier movies are a movie you put on if you want to have a good time. It's not like some, I mean, if you want to take it as completely serious or whatever, I guess you could say, oh my God, you know, look at all these brutal kills. But even the movie itself isn't taking it seriously. So I don't know why you would.
Yep. Yeah. It's, but yeah, just literally like for days afterwards, I was just thinking about how much fun I had watching Terrifier 3. And I'm like, I might go see that again. Like, I've not gotten around to doing that yet. But there's like part of me is like, I might go see that again.
Before it leaves movie theaters, because my brother didn't get a chance to go, I think I'm probably going to go see it again.
You might have to let me know. I might have to go with you guys. But, you know, Jeff, here we are. We're talking about how much we've enjoyed these movies. We're eating our candy, but ouch. Someone snuck a razor blade in.
Oh, God. It hurts, Jay. probably not as much as these reviews are going to, but it's not good.
1 out of 10 stars. Boring. No rhyme, no reason, no plot. Blood and gore for the sake of blood and gore. 6 people found that helpful.
Oh, yeah. Well, 153 people found this 1-star Google review helpful, Jay. A loose narrative. I didn't even have to go digging for this, by the way. This is the top Google review.
Jesus.
A loose narrative around cheap gore effects. It does not a movie make. Poorly acted, poorly written, poorly edited. This has to be one of the most overhyped horror movies in years. Trying to pass off the excuse of it being an homage to 80s slasher flicks, this is just a boring, gore-filled hack job of the director just trying to gross out or disturb the audience watching it. The main characters are only there to deliver terrible dialogue and be butchered by the dime-a-dozen killer clown template. The main villain is just another overpowered slasher killer who turns up to conveniently thwart our victim's escape or just pull out a handgun and things don't go his way. Yeah, that's supposed to be the funny part.
Right.
Is he can't slash him, so then he's like, oh, fuck this, I'll just shoot him. But never give your killer a gun. It cheapens their character and makes it unbalanced for the audience since they could have just pulled it out at any time. Yeah, the point is Art enjoys what he does, chopping people up.
Yep, exactly.
He only uses the gun when he has to, because he was like, in Art's mind, it's like, well, if she escapes, the fun is over because she's going to bring the cops back here. So I have to shoot her.
Yep.
Otherwise, I don't get to torture more people.
No, exactly.
Yeah. The killer clown trope is so overdone and played out. Is it, though? I mean,
we had three It's. Well, I have four It's if you count the two parts. I was going to say,
we have It, the TV show. We have It, the movie series, which I don't even really count because It's barely in those.
And then, yeah, you've got like, yeah, and you've got killer clowns from outer space, and you've got like a handful of other like B horror.
I was going to say, a lot of that stuff is from like decades ago at this point.
Or, you know, is Spirit Halloween costumes being used as clowns.
Like, this is what got me. The gore featured comes across as so cheap. Everything is so rubbery and waxy. Certainly nothing like the spectacular works of the 80s legends. I think you need to rewatch some of those 80s legends. Those kills aren't as spectacular as you remember.
Hey, one of those 80s legends, Tom Savini, is in Terrifier 3, which probably leads you to believe that he loves the effects that they've used.
This movie does nothing new, nothing interesting, and in all honesty is downright boring. Oh my God. If you'd rather a real modern tense slasher flick with great gore, go watch Your Next or Us instead.
And Us has one creepy part, I think. Your Next, though, is genuinely good. I will agree. Watch Your Next, but also watch Terrifier.
This is tedious, unoriginal, not worth your time. 153 people found this helpful.
Yikes. All right, well, here's another one. This is the one that I think I mentioned to you. 1 star out of 10. Torture is the title. I love scary movies. Love them. I watch Saw for fun. Which, man, oh, this guy's real cool.
He's a real hard ass.
But this movie is disgusting. As someone else put it, it is pure torture. No plot, no story, no good characters, no good acting, which Once again, David Howard Thornton does a great job.
I mean, lots of people in the movie do a pretty good job.
Yeah, no, I don't think any of the actors... We've seen bad actors.
Yes.
I wouldn't put any of these people bad as some of the other actors we've seen.
Listen, buddy, we've seen Krampus the Christmas Devil. We've seen the American Scream.
I am almost impossible to frighten. But this movie was so nasty and disturbing, I threw up while watching it. I absolutely refuse to ever watch this again. Remember, he loves horror movies and watches Saw for fun.
And it's impossible to be scared.
This movie should never have been created. Whoever did this is a sick, psychotic mind and needs help.
Again, if you were grossed out by stuff in this movie, then how the hell did you watch Saw for fun and enjoy it?
I had a moment where I'm like, you know, it. I don't know that I would say Saw was worse than this or anything like that. Hostel is absolutely worse than anything in this movie or anything in Terrifier 3. Hostel's probably the grossest movie I've ever watched.
I mean, some of the traps in Saw are like downright disgusting. And I mean, if we're talking about movies that are pretty light on plot, the first Saw basically is just two guys in a room getting tortured.
I was going to say, you want to talk about a classic of the slasher genre, Mr. I watch Saw movies for fun. I love scary movies. Friday the 13th Part 1 was literally a series of kills, and then they were like, all right, we need a plot to get from kill 1 to kill 2. Mm-hmm. So once again, kind of no plot, if you ask me, because all they wanted to do was feature the kills.
Yeah, almost like that's what people are watching a slasher movie for, Jay, to see the kills.
Yeah.
It's like 90% of the time, you know what you do at the plot in a slasher movie? You roll your eyes because it's boring.
It's, you know, it's when you get a good one that you genuinely love the movie. But yeah, most of the time I'm like, I just want to watch I find these motherfuckers annoying. I just want to watch them die. Third Saturday in October, part 5.
Yes, exactly. No, Jay, we have to make this seem like a real movie. So we're going to have to space out the kills once every 10 to 15 minutes and bore you to death.
Do you have any more?
Oh, Jay.
I'm sure you do.
What sights I have to show to thee. I watched this only after my little cousin, 14 years old, told me this was the scariest movie he ever saw. I mean, if he's 14, it's probably was the scariest movie he ever saw. I saw that Rotten Tomatoes rated this at 55, which, sidebar, Jay, can we stop fucking listening to Rotten Tomatoes, please? You know they're a corporate fucking sellout thing owned by Warner Brothers, right? Why do you trust their reviews of movies?
That's the thing. Don't trust anybody. Literally, I trusted the Wikipedia synopsis, and that was what kept me from watching it for so long.
Anyway, when I began to watch, it looked very low budget. It doesn't. But I was intrigued to continue watching it every corner, even with the bad acting and unrealistic goriness. I mean, goriness is a little bit over the top unrealistic, but it's still well done.
But and also, that's the whole point.
Yeah. It was about a weird clown, to say the least, that is murdering some people with no reason of why the killing spree is happening, no real background, and cheap reminders of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre with different weaponry. I mean, aren't all slashers Texas Chainsaw Massacre with different weaponry?
Yeah, essentially.
It's like, yeah, they're not using a chainsaw like Leatherface. Yeah, Jason is Leatherface, but with a knife instead.
Right.
I'm all for the thrill of a horror movie that has a simple plot and weak acting. Then you should have loved this. But I just want to know if all the people who posted positively about this were watching the same black and white clown movie that I just watched. I want to watch Dr. Giggles just to feel a little jumper suspense. Jeez.
All right, I love Dr. Giggles, but let's not pretend like...
Oh, you know what? You know what 90% of this is? I think it's fucking people trying to be internet tough guys. This shit, nothing disturbed me in this movie. It's not scary.
I think you're onto something. I think it's the same people who've like, which, you know, they'll say stuff like, I've watched Necromantic. I've watched a Serbian film. Nothing grosses me out. Give me a movie that'll scare me. Give me a movie that'll nothing scares me. And it's like, I bet you haven't watched those movies. Yeah. Like,
I mean, even if you had, I don't get, it's like, it's a fun, and not everything is supposed to be, it's the Thanksgiving effect all over again. It's like, this was not supposed to be some masterpiece. It wasn't supposed to be super serious. It was supposed to be a fun slasher.
Which it was.
Yes. It's like Art's doing the same thing. He's a fun slasher. He has over-the-top kills, you know, and he does, like, crazy shit while he's doing it. That's the whole appeal. It's like, yeah, you're not. And it's like they did. Honestly, Thanksgiving does it the best I've seen in a while, making the people like so hateable that you love to see them get killed.
Oh, absolutely. I there was someone talking about it the other day. I don't remember where. They were like, I hated the final girl in Thanksgiving. I just wanted her to die so bad. And I'm like, because sometimes that's like what that means they did their job. Yes. Like,
oh, and I've got one more. This is the enlightened man, Jay. That's too highbrow for us losers. You will love this movie if you love gross and gore. Sadly, I have grown out of it. I felt nothing after watching this movie. The Saw series at least made me think how I would survive if I got into Jigsaw's games. You wouldn't. Here, I will kill the clown and get the fuck out as early as possible because I need a smoke. I won't fret because the clown is sloppy as hell and gives plenty of chances. In this movie, time flows differently for different characters. The script takes ample liberty regarding time. Einstein will be pleased by discovery of relativity in this movie.
What?
I had to pull this one. And who the hell screams, leave me alone, to a clown wearing a skin and hell-bent on killing you? Oh, I don't know. Probably all the people who scream at Jason or Michael or Freddy to leave them alone, even though they're not going to.
Or I'm sure people who have been, like, murdered or stalked in real life have yelled, yes, leave me alone at some point.
It's pretty much a natural response when you're afraid for your life. But yeah, 10 people found that helpful.
All right, I got one last one while we're having fun. This one is kind of similar to the last one I did. This one's titled Terrifier. Hey, it's the name of the movie.
They got the thing.
They did the thing. 1 star out of 10. A scary clown serial killer known apparently as Art the Clown goes around killing in the most visceral ways possible. Various people that he come across for no apparent reason. I think this was written by someone who left a comment on my post about seeing this on Facebook. I'm more than happy to watch a fun slasher horror a la Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, even Friday the 13th. Once again, Friday the 13th Part 1 is literally what people are complaining about in this movie. No plot, all kills, because that's what that movie is. These were scary, had a dark sense of humor, and were often quite tense within something like a story. Then there is Terrifier, which just has this stupid-looking clown moving from one person to another, usually slicing them to bits. End of story. It's not tense, never scary, and devoid of any emotional drive. 2 sequels followed, and the film itself, presumably because of the extremely unpleasant killings, where the whole budget was seemingly spent, has something of a cult following. I found it boring and dumb beyond belief. This guy, all right, he's just too cool for Terrifier.
Here's a nice short one on Letterboxd.
That thing you like, it's dumb, actually.
Yep. See, he's the too grown up for this guy.
Yep.
We got the internet tough guy, the too grown up for this guy, and the it was boring guy. Those are our 3 main characters.
Yep.
And some of them are all 3.
All right, read your last one.
You ready for this? Good-looking, poorly-paced crapathon with interesting anti-hero and some obscenely good kills, mean-spirited, low-budget fun, 2 stars. And I was like, first of all, poorly-paced, this movie, like, flies by. It's, like, literally just gone from one thing to the next.
No, it's, like, it's a very tight hour 25, like, it's a very fast watch.
And what is wrong with you if you think Art the Clown is an anti-hero?
I get maybe if you think Jigsaw's an anti-hero.
Yeah, maybe. But Art the Clown has literally nothing redeemable about him. He is just a murderer.
No, he is literally just a psychopathic murderer.
He revels in the fact that he can cause such pain and death to the people around him. That is not an anti-hero. That's just a villain.
And this guy probably thinks Freddy's the anti-hero. Oh, like he's probably thinks Freddy, which, you know, if this guy thinks Freddy Krueger's some kind of anti-hero, maybe the government should look at his hard drive. You know, Freddy Krueger, he's right, actually. Mm-hmm. Says random guy on the internet. Seconds later, I'm going to ruin my joke. Brian Hansen? Is that the
which
take
one?
A seat.
Oh, Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen's going to, you know, oh, Freddy Krueger's actually an anti-hero. Chris Hansen knocks at his door. Have a seat. Take a seat. All right. Well, Jeff, let's take our villain. Let's take Art the Clown. And figure out where the fuck to put him on our goddamn trick-or-treat list.
Well, I guess it depends. Are we taking art from this movie, or are we taking art overall?
I think because this episode, yes, we talked about other Terrifiers. This episode was mainly about Terrifier 1. So I think we should take art from Terrifier 1.
Mm. All right, then I would put him at like peak human killer then.
I was going to say above Michael, below Pumpkinhead.
Yep.
I think that's the perfect place for him. He comes back from the dead at the end of the movie, so we know he's immortal. Takes a hell of a beating.
Yep.
And, you know, I assume at some point we might have him above every other villain, yeah. maybe barring Sam.
Depending on where his arc goes, he could very well be one of the most powerful. But yeah, in this, I would say he could probably take Michael, although it would probably be a long, long fight.
Yep.
But I think he would win out in the end just because he's got superior agility and a lot bigger selection of weaponry.
Yeah.
Plus the no qualms about using a gun.
Yeah. Likes, you know, yeah, doesn't mind improvising where it yeah. feels like Michael's just always looking yeah. for a knife.
He's pretty much a one trick pony. Either he's going to strangle you or stab you.
Yep. Or maybe boil your head alive. That's about it.
But yeah. But yeah, this for the current form of art could kill Pumpkinhead.
Oh, I think so.
This yeah. form of art, I don't think could take Pumpkinhead.
Yeah, I think right now we've got to put him just below Pumpkinhead. But I think next year on the 2025 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular Terrifier 2 edition, he'll probably be above Pumpkinhead by that point.
Well, Jay, this is the 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular.
It sure is.
And I think there's something we got to do.
What's that?
Got to dive into the garbage.
Garbage day!
Huh?
No!
Garbage Day, Halloween edition.
All right, well, here, you know, buddy. Like I said last week, we're gonna do the for our last episode. It's kind of been a tradition on our Halloween episodes that we've done Burger King for our
yeah.
So we're gonna dive into that Wednesday Whopper next week and maybe get the whole Addams Family meal for next week's episode. But for this week's episode, I finished cleaning out the entirety of the cupboard.
Jay finished cleaning out the gross bin he keeps all this food in when we're not doing the podcast.
So we got a little bit to get through here.
No,
and no. Jeff, you didn't think you were getting off that easy. We got some alcohol in this one too.
Oh no. Oh God, it doesn't even look good. It's in like a disgusting black bottle.
We got some Rattlesnake Rosie's pumpkin pie flavored whiskey.
Oh boy. Oh, we got some Werther's.
I've got 5 different packs of fall-flavored Werther's Originals.
Ah.
If you want to read those.
No, we got cinnamon cream. We've got maple cream. We've got caramel apple, pumpkin spice for us basic bitches, and caramel apple.
One is caramel apple hard and one is soft. Okay,
one's hard and one's soft. Interesting. Oh my God, there's so much.
We've also got pumpkin pie M&Ms.
Oh, no. No.
We've got pumpkin spice jet puffed marshmallows.
Oh.
And then to wash it all down.
No, Jay, no.
There's an Ecto Coolest.
Oh my God. Jay didn't learn his lesson. 2 alcohols in one episode.
And a couple Halloween Gatorades.
Ah,
we've got Midnight Ice and
Lightning Blast.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, where do you want to start in this mess, Jay?
Well, whatever you want to do, wherever you want to start, I'll pour us a shot each of this Rattlesnake Rosie.
We might as well do that first. Take our medicine. God, there's so many Werther's. Everybody knows after you eat one Werther's, you can't taste anything else, so we're saving these for the end. Alright, Jay's opening the disturbingly shaped and colored bottle that this liquor comes in. Oh, there he goes. He popped the cork.
I don't even know that that smells like pumpkin pie, but let's check it out.
It's just going to taste like fucking rot gut whiskey.
I kept getting ads for this, and I was like, oh, I am intrigued by the witch on the label, so why not give it a shot for the spooktacular?
Well, there you go, folks. If you want to market something to Jay Logsdon, just put a witch on it. Oh, boy. No, no. There's so much. Oh, God, it smells like lighter fluid or auto parts cleaner. I can't tell really which one. Oh, God. Right. I'm definitely not getting pie.
Yeah, I'm not getting any pumpkin pie on this.
You ready?
Over the lips, through the gums. Look out, stomach. Here it comes.
I don't know about that flavor, Jay.
Yeah, I didn't get any pumpkin pie there at all.
It just tastes like alcohol.
Oh, actually, on the back end, I am getting a bit of pumpkin pie.
There's like a little bit of sweetness.
I'm getting a little bit of pumpkin pie on the back end, but
like a hint.
I think I like the candy corn better than I like that.
Yeah, I will agree. I wasn't that big a fan of the candy corn, but yeah, it's better than that.
All right, I'm gonna crack open a
lightning blast
Gatorade here.
Wash some of that taste out of my mouth. I like it. Not bad.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what flavor that is.
Almost tastes like a white cherry.
But it's like the kind of the clear, almost Mountain Dew white out, kind of like opaque Gatorade.
Yeah. Interesting. When did Gatorade become refrigerated after opening?
I have no idea. Let's try Midnight Ice.
Midnight Ice. This looks very grape.
Yeah, this one's almost like a black grape. Like, almost makes me think of pitch black looking at it.
I think it might be plum.
Ooh.
Not really getting grape.
Yeah, I don't know what to call that.
Interesting.
Very interesting. All right, well, let's have some candy. Then we can try some Ecto Coolest at the end.
All right, well, start with the Caramel Apple Softs. All right. Let's try this.
I figured we'll do the hard one at the end.
Yeah. Smells good.
It smells like caramel apple.
Now for the chewing portion of the show.
Nom, nom, nom.
Yeah, as you get into it, you can definitely taste the apple.
Oh, absolutely coming through.
That's good. I like that.
Honestly, a more, like, eatable version of a caramel apple pop, almost.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go with the cinnamon cream. Be an interesting one. Wonder if it's going to be like a churro.
Oh, it's got like a cinnamon center or something.
Don't really know what to make of that one.
It tastes like cinnamon, but I was not expecting like that burst of cinnamon flavor to come out of the middle of that.
Well, here we go with the basic bitch's best friend, Jay, the pumpkin spice. Which is everywhere this year. All kinds of treats and cereals.
Oh, yeah.
There's that pumpkin spice.
I saw an article somewhere, and it was like, you know, it was essentially complaining about, like, Halloween stuff being up too early.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in stores, like Halloween retail and stuff like that. And then it's like, too much pumpkin spice too early. And it's like, people love this shit. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I've had, I think, at least 3 pumpkin spice lattes so far.
That was going to be my costume this year. I was going to get one of those blonde Karen haircut wigs, and they sell a Starbucks cup prop at Spirit. And I was going to get that and say it's my pumpkin spice latte.
Oh, perfect.
I have a shirt that says, "Can I speak to your manager?"
I'm just sniffing this one. I don't think we got much of the flavor, the scent profile through initially. It's once you kind of dive into the candy.
Yeah, once you actually eat it. The pumpkin spice is good. I liked it. This one is the maple cream, so that means this one is going to have that burst of flavor in the middle.
Yeah, I think the word cream is kind of our clue there.
Has the world's most disgusting symbol, the maple leaf, on it. You definitely get that maple flavor, that maple syrup kind of taste. It works. I like it. It's almost like you're eating like a maple donut.
I tried to take a drink here to get all the caramel out of my teeth.
Good luck, Jay. Good luck. All right, well, I guess we should probably do the Ecto Coolest before we do the hard candy.
We've also got M&M's and M&M's too.
Mm.
Wait, did I say M&M's and M&M's? Marshmallows yes. and M&M's.
Jay Logsdon strikes again.
I'm gonna do the maple cream first.
I think you're gonna enjoy it. All right, I guess we'll go with the marshmallows next. Cool packaging. Are they supposed to be like maple leaves? The design they're going
I think
for?
They're supposed to be pumpkins.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Let's see how these are. Everybody knows you're going marshmallows. You got to grab a handful. Otherwise, you don't get the true
I'm going to play Chubby Bunny. Honestly, I think the maple cream might be my favorite of the those. I didn't think any of them were bad.
No, but the maple cream was really
I think
good.
The maple cream was the best. Yep, just pumpkin-shaped jet puffed marshmallows. I don't know if maybe like stick them in a PSL, see what happens. Mm. Like I don't know.
They're not bad, but they really don't have very much flavor. Have you seen the filled marshmallows? The ones that have like the caramel in the middle?
I have seen those.
Those are good.
I'll have to check them out. Yeah, I'm not really getting much pumpkin spice in this one.
Pretty much just marshmallow flavor. All right, Jay, it's time for some pumpkin pie in M&M form. Now, M&M's have surprised us in the past with how good their imitations of things have been.
So our listener, Robert, said he hated these.
Hmm.
Sorry, said he hated these.
Well, let's judge.
It's got the orange M&M holding a slice of pumpkin pie, wearing a top of a pumpkin on top of his head, and he looks all worried. That guy's always anxious. I feel like the orange M&M is the most anxious coated of the M&Ms.
But did they change his shoes, Jay? That's what I'm worried
they
about.
They didn't.
Good, thank God. America still makes sense. Yeah, I'm not getting pumpkin pie off these. I'm not really getting much, honestly.
I think it's more chocolate and pumpkin spice than I think it is pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely not getting pumpkin pie. Yeah. Now, if they had said this was like chocolate pie or chocolate pumpkin spice pie, I might believe that.
Man, not pretty rare miss from M&M's lately.
I think Robert was right. These are disappointing.
All right, let's crack this Ecto Coolest, and we'll do one of those caramel apple hard candies and round this out.
I mean, it's Bard Town. It's the only kind of beer I drink. It's the only kind of beer anyone should drink, really. All right, here I go. Yeah, it's good.
It's supposed to be blue raspberry flavored, which I absolutely think it is.
Yep. This could be another dangerous one because you really can't even taste alcohol.
Yep. No, this one is one of my favorites. This one is just so fantastic. Love the logo with kind of the ectoplasm like shot on the side of the can.
Yeah. The green goo.
Yep.
Jay is covered in green goo. That's why Pumpkinhead's trying to stay away from him.
That wouldn't be the first time. Oh, there's just green goo everywhere.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, it's good. Like all Bard Town beers.
No, very tasty.
Even the Bard Towns I don't particularly care for, I would still drink because they're not bad.
Yep. No, this one's really, really good. I'm glad it's back. All right. And we'll finish up with one of those caramel apple.
Here we go.
Hard candies. And then we'll try to figure out how to record the end of this podcast.
And we'll get your grandma's candy out.
Oh, hey there, Sonny. Here, you can have one of these caramels after church.
Get in my purse, Jay, and see what's in there. It's always Werther's and like peppermints.
And grandma's diaphragm. Oh no.
Oh, gross, gross. Oh, God. Jay Logsdon being gross for another episode.
I was trying.
This is why Pumpkinhead won't come back.
Good. After Pumpkinhead 2, I don't want him back. Sure, we'll watch Pumpkinhead 3 anyways, but right now.
Right now, he's just. These are good. I like him.
This might be the best one.
Mm.
This one tastes like a caramel apple pop. Like. Mm-hmm. Without all the caramel on the outside.
Shield the flavor.
Do we want to kind of do the Werther's on their own and then kind of talk about everything else?
I think
else?
We should, because otherwise the list is going to be like 90% Werther's.
Yep. Honestly, the worst one might have been the cinnamon cream. Not that it was bad.
That was my vote for worst as well. I think second worst was probably the pumpkin spice.
Yeah. And then kind of the soft chew caramel apple.
Yep. And then I think the maple one was probably the best.
I completely agree. And then this one's the best one.
Yeah, overall, the hard candy. Which, I mean, that's the classic.
For drinks, I bottom would be the pumpkin pie whiskey.
Yeah. I mean, it really didn't have any taste to it except for like a little bit of a note at the end. After that, I'd say the two Gatorades are pretty much interchangeable.
I think I'd say the purple one lower than the opaque one.
Yeah.
And then number one is Ecto Coolest.
Oh, I mean, that wasn't even a question.
And then beyond that, M&M's below the marshmallows, but not by much.
No, they're pretty much around the same, Eric, because neither one of them really has the flavor they advertised.
I the last little bit of marshmallow I had like a little bit of pumpkin spice flavor, but yeah, not much at all.
Yeah, not that big a fan of that.
But otherwise, yeah. If you want to get in touch with us, tell us to stop eating into the microphone. Tell us to stop drinking into the microphone. Tell us to stop hitting the microphone. Tell me to stop burping. Sometimes I'm going to try to cut them all out, but we'll see which ones remain. Get in touch with us on social media. We are at @horror4holidays, or send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Leave comments. Watch the videos. Tell people about it. This is not a request. This is an order.
This is a demand.
This is an order from Pumpkinhead.
You'll see your family again when you've told people about this podcast.
Exactly.
Leave us a review on your podcatcher choice, especially if it's a bad review. 5 stars. Let us know all of your issues. We're only going to read critiques of this podcast if they're 5-star reviews. We don't want to read your 1-star reviews of how bad we are. We know we suck. Make it a 5-star review.
Give us 5 stars. Say, I am the toughest man who's ever lived, and nothing scares me, not even Saw. But this movie was boring as fuck.
Nothing scares me, not even Casper the Friendly Ghost. Oh, that guy's a ghost.
Exactly.
Yeah, leave that review. And yeah, tell us you're offended by us making fun of your shitty reviews online.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Where we make shitty reviews on a podcast. Say,
if you don't want to have your shitty reviews critiqued, don't put them out for people to see.
And next week we're gonna close the lid on another spooktacular.
The 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular is coming to an end with the most exciting movie that Jay's been anticipating for years.
Yeah, it's going to be my favorite Halloween movie, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Very excited to talk about Tom Atkins. And
this time, the druids are there, and they're pissed.
And, I don't know, a kid's head gets turned into bugs.
Yeah.
It's a classic. It's a great one. No Michael Myers. We'll talk all about it. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.
In the crib, late at night. Monsters grooving, what a fright. The goblins dance, oh so grand, with vampires leading the band. Dracula waltz with groove in the blow. It was a happening monster show. They did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. Caught on in a flash. They did the monster mash.